This week's parsha is Parshas Vayikra, and in pasuk number 2, the pasuk says like that: Daber el bnei Israel, speak to the Jewish people. Vomarto aleihem, and you should say to them, Adam amen ki yakriv mikem, when he will sacrifice from amongst you, korban lashem, an offering to Hashem. The word korban comes from the word karov, getting near or getting close, even though we translate as sacrifice, but really it is not really a sacrifice. Mina behema, from the animals. Mina bakor, mina tzoyim, from the cattle, from the sheep. Takrivu es korbanchem, you should bring your sacrifices. The idea of sacrifices is very foreign to us. We do not understand what is the purpose of sacrifices. Yet I will start by bringing the Rambam, Maimonides, in Sefer Moreh Nevoichim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, Chelek Gimel, Memvav. He explains the idea of sacrifices. He explains that because the Mitzrim and the Kazdim, that the Jewish people used to live amongst them, they used to worship Bakor and Tzoyin, used to worship sheep and cattle. The Mitzrim used to worship the sheep, and the Kazdim used to worship demons, and demons, to them, it looked like sheep. And the people from India, still today, they still would never slaughter a single cow. Therefore, Hashem told us to slaughter these three types of animals in the name of Hashem, that a person should know that what he thinks or what he thought it is a god, it is not true. That what he thought that this is the thing that controls the world, obviously it is not true. And that thing itself, their gods themselves, that they were influenced by the nations around them, that itself we should bring as a sacrifice to the true God, to Hashem, in order for him to realize that there is no substance in their God. And like that, his sins will be forgiven. And the Rambam continues and says, what do you mean his sins will be forgiven? How can me bringing a sacrifice of their gods forgive my sin? So the Rambam explains that all sins start with lack of belief. That the only reason a person sins is because he does not believe wholeheartedly in the true God. And that must be that he has a little bit of idolatry within him. So therefore, by him bringing the gods of those nations into an altar, that will solidify his heart and he'll be healed by bringing the sacrifice. And he explains the idea is that when you have physical ailments, you're required to do the opposite that you are used to. For example, if you overeat, eat always a lot, and that is causing you sickness, the only way that you are going to get healed is by you eating little. The same idea is that if you believe that this is a god, the only way that you'll be able to heal yourself from that belief that it's a god is by you bringing that god itself as a sacrifice and you burning that god. In other words, the Rambam is saying that the whole idea that we have sacrifices is because we got used to the nations around us, we became corrupted by our surroundings, and our surroundings use animals for idols. So therefore, Hashem told us, in order to win us out of our idolatry, in order for us to not become attached anymore to the idolatry, that we should bring those animals that they use as idols and bring them as a sacrifice to Hashem. On this Rambam, there is the famous question of the Ramban, Nachmanides, and Nachmanides asks very strong questions. The first question he asks, that the pasuk number 9 is written that Ishei Reach Nichoach Lashem. After you do the whole elevation offering, and that is actually after every offering, it's written that it's going to be a pleasant aroma to Hashem. And if it, the whole idea is to take away from the hearts of fools that believe that they are gods, would not be written that this is a pleasant aroma to Hashem. The second question that he asks is that how is that going to help us? If we are going to bring a sacrifice of their gods to Hashem, how is that going to help them to believe that this is not a god? They themselves worship the sun and the moon, and for them it's an honor when you bring a sacrifice for the sun or the moon or other stars that they worship to bring their god, their sheep, as a sacrifice to their other gods, the sun, the moon, or the other stars. In other words, they believe that it is an honor that their god should be sacrificed to a higher being, that this is the medium for sacrifice, that their god is holy, therefore we're bringing them for the stars and the moons and other things as a sacrifice. Therefore, if you bring those animals as a sacrifice to Hashem, it is not diminishing from their god. They believe that not the sheep is exclusively a god. They believe in a lot of gods, like the Egyptians had thousands of gods. And they themselves would sacrifice for their higher gods, the lower gods. How do we remove paganism by sacrificing their god to our god, to Hashem? Wouldn't it be a better proof that their god is not a god by us just eating their god? Why do we make it an honorable way that we use their god as a sacrifice, which is an honor for their god? Would be better for us to remove paganism, just Hashem commands us, eat sheep and cattle and the animals that they believe it's a god, you should eat them, consume them. But now that Hashem told us to bring a sacrifice, their god, they will come to believe that their god is really a god. How is it that by us bringing them a sacrifice that we're going to remove that paganism? Wouldn't it be just a greater level of degradation instead of bringing this animal in a rightful way as a sacrifice for a higher being, just to eat them and show them that they are nothing, that they are no gods? The other question the Ramban brings, that in Parshas Noach, chapter number 8, Pasuk number 20, as soon as Noach came out of the ark, it says there, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach Lashem, Noach built an altar to Hashem, Vayikach Mikol HaBehema HaTohera, he took from all the clean animals, and Mikol HaTohera, from the all clean birds, Vayal Oilos BaMizbeach, and he brought elevation offerings in the altar. Pasuk number 21 says, Vayorach Hashem Esreach Nichoach, Hashem smelled the pleasing aroma. Vayomer Hashem Eliboy, Hashem said in his heart, Lo Yosiv Lekalel Oides Adama Bavir Adam, I will not curse again the earth because of man. So you see that even the time of Noah, there was already sacrifices, and there was no paganism yet. There was nobody around, only Noah and his sons came out of the ark of the Teva. What kind of paganism was there? Why was it required for Noah to bring a sacrifice? And furthermore, if you go all the way back to Cain and Hevel, we know the famous fight Cain and Hevel, because one brought from the fruit of the earth and the other one brought from the fruit of the animal. And Hashem answered, Pasuk number 4, which is in chapter 4, Vayesha Hashem el Hevel ve'al milchosoy, and Hashem turned to Hevel and his offering. So you see, even during Cain and Hevel, when there were no people around, just Adam and Chava, they still brought sacrifices. And what kind of paganism was it there? What kind of Mitzri and Kazdi did we have there that was required for them to bring sacrifices? If the whole idea behind sacrifices is to remove paganism, there was no paganism there. And furthermore, the Gemara brings down that Adam HaRishon brought a sacrifice. Adam HaRishon brought a unicorn for Hashem as a sacrifice. And when Adam was around, there was only Adam and Chava. What kind of paganism did he have that he felt compelled to bring a sacrifice? Therefore, the Ramban explains that the idea of Karbanos is totally different. The idea of Karbanos is for us to realize we made a sin, and whatever happens to the animal, it should really have happened to us. And by us seeing what is done to the animal and figuring out why things are done, that will bring us to do tshuva. that will bring us to repent, and by the sacrifice will atone completely for our crime. And he explains that normally a crime is done by three different things, by thought, by speech, and by action. So therefore Hashem tells us to bring a sacrifice on the sin. And by a person putting his weight on the animal, that is symbolic of the action that he does. When a person confesses his sin, that is symbolic for the speech that he did bad to Hashem. And when it's burned in the fire, the innards and the kidneys, which the innards are the vehicles of thought and vehicles of desires, therefore his thought, his bad thought that he had, will be atoned. And when you burn the feet, that is like burning the hand and feet of a person that did the crime, because most crimes are done by your hand or by going somewhere where you're not supposed to, by your feet. And when we sprinkle the blood on the altar, that is symbolic of a person's blood that should have been spilled on the altar instead of the animal, that his blood should have been spilled, but instead Hashem's kindness lets the animal blood take the place of your blood. So when a person will think all these things, all these steps that's done to the animal, and these steps really should have been happening to him, but Hashem in his great kindness is accepting the animal to be killed instead of you, so that will make him repent, and by him repenting, that will make him come close to Hashem. That's why it's called Korban, because you're coming close to Hashem. And that is also what is pshat in the pasuk. Adam, a man, ki yakriv mikem, will bring a sacrifice mikem from you, not a man from you that will bring a sacrifice. The sacrifice has to be only if it comes from you. If you do tshuva, if you repent, that's when the sacrifice is worthy. And the Eben Ezra gives a little bit different interpretation, but the same idea, that sacrifices are a vehicle for you to do tshuva by you seeing what's happening to the animal. He doesn't go with the ideas of the Ramban of machshava, thought, dibur, speech, and maise, and action. He goes with the idea that the sacrifices, whatever happens to the animal, are signified by the four mises bezin, the four type of capital punishments that we have in Jewish law. That's what's supposed to remind you, that you did a crime, that you are deserving of one of these four kinds of deaths, and by us doing to the animal those deaths, you will remember that it should have been really you, and you should do tshuva, you should repent on your actions. And he explains, in Jewish law you have four capital punishments. The four capital punishments are stoning, burning, decapitating, and choking. And we perform in a korban, a sacrifice, symbolically, all four deaths. When we throw the animal to the ground, that is like stoning, because truly stoning, according to the Torah, means throwing a person from a second floor, and if he died, fine. If he didn't die, we throw a stone on top of him. So throwing the animal to the ground before we slaughter him, that is stoning. When I stretch the neck, that means like I'm choking the animal. When I slaughter it, that's like decapitating up the animal. And when I burn on the altar, that's like burning. So a person should see that whatever is happening to the animal, all these four deaths that we do in this animal symbolically, that should be viewed symbolically as being done to him. And Hashem, in his great kindness, is willing to accept the animal in exchange for you. So a person will repent and see how guilty he is, and that will make him come close to Hashem. Going back to the Ramban concludes that even though I gave you this beautiful explanation about sacrifices, though you should know that the true explanation of sacrifices is a great secret and it will not be divulged. And the same idea is quoted by Rabbeinu Bachya, that he also says that the idea of karbanos is a great secret and nobody really understands how it works. We try to explain for us to understand really how it works, but we don't really understand, and it's really one of those chukim that we will never understand clearly how it works. In truth, the Rambam himself believes that when Moshiach will come, the first thing that will be restored is the inyan of karbanos, is the inyan of sacrifices. If that is true, obviously when Moshiach will come, there won't be any more paganism. So obviously the reason for karbanos cannot be paganism. So we have to understand then how come the Rambam in Moreh Nevoichim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, says that the idea of sacrifices is the idea to remove ourselves from paganism. So there are those who want to answer that when the Rambam is speaking on the Guide to Perplex, he's speaking to a specific audience, like other instances in the Moreh Nevoichim, which seems to target specific people, specific audience that ask him the question, or that he wrote the Moreh Nevoichim for, and that's why he writes about paganism. But that the Rambam himself doesn't hold that the idea of sacrifices is that of paganism. This answer, even though it's plausible, it's possible that the Rambam meant that way, that the Rambam only answered this to a target audience, but it's not probable. It's not probable that the Rambam would actually come up with an idea just for a specific target audience where he himself would not believe that idea to be true. Not only that, Sefer Tosfos Bracha brings a proof to Rambam's idea from the Pasuk. He says that if you take a look on Parshas Achrei Mois, chapter number 17, Pasuk number 7, where the Torah tells you that once the tabernacle is built, you are not allowed to slaughter your animals in any kind of private altar that you have in the backyard. You are required to bring the sacrifices to the temple of Hashem, and the shlamim have to be eaten in the temple. The Pasuk says, what is the reason? Velo yizbechu oid ezivcheim laseirim, that you should not anymore slaughter your animals to the demons, asher hem zoinim achareim, that you stray after them. So we see clearly that the reason that we're not allowed to do private sacrifices anymore after the temple of Hashem is built, in order for us not to bring those sacrifices to the demons. So you see, the idea is that we were straying after demons, like the Rambam explains, that's the idea of sacrifices, that we were pagans, to take away from our paganism. That's why Hashem told us to bring the sacrifices only in the temple and only from Hashem, so we should not stray. So we have a clear proof to the Rambam's word. So if that is true, if we have a clear proof to the Rambam's word, then we have to try to reconcile the Rambam himself, that here he mentions the idea of sacrifice is about paganism, and yet when Moshiach will come, where there won't be any more paganism, the first thing that will bring will be sacrifices. So how can we bring sacrifices if the whole idea of sacrifices is paganism? The Ritva in Sefer HaZikaron, he tries to answer a lot of questions of the Ramban on Rambam, of Nachmanides against the Rambam. He says that there is a difference between Moreh Nevoichim and the idea of Karbonis. The Rambam would agree the idea of Karbonis is a lofty idea and has got nothing to do with paganism. What the Rambam is trying to say, why did we specifically pick these animals as being sacrificed? So that's what the Rambam Moreh Nevoichim is explaining, that those animals were considered God, and therefore Hashem told us to bring those specific animals as sacrifices. It doesn't mean to say that the whole idea of sacrifices is to take away from paganism. The Rambam would agree that sacrifices is a lofty idea, either it's a secret or idea of doing tshuva. But why did we specifically pick a lamb or a cow or this kind of animals? So on that, the Rambam is saying you should know why we specifically pick those animals is because of paganism. We would have sacrifices regardless of paganism, because what sacrifices do, we don't know exactly what it does, but regardless what it does, we would have had sacrifices no matter what. But the reason that we picked these specific animals is because they were considered gods for other nations, and we want to burn those animals for our God to take away from paganism. But that is not the whole idea. That is just the choice of animals was for that. Therefore, the Marishin, when he brought a unicorn, since there was no paganism, he could bring a unicorn, and is no problem, because there is no yet paganism to restrict what sacrifices you bring. The Meshech Chachma, in his Hagdama, in his preface to the book of Ayikra, he brings the opinion of the Rambam, and he also brings the opinion of the Ramban, and he explains the Ramban with a little interesting words which is worth mentioning. He explains that the Ramban says that Karbanos is to connect all forces of the worlds, the upper world and the lower world. All forces become connected through the performance of Karbanos, of sacrifices. And he explains that in Inyan, Elektri Rochni, that is kind of a spiritual electricity that the Kohen, by doing it, is able to charge or to light up all the world. And he's trying to make a mediation between the Ramban and the Rambam, and his idea, his mediation, his zachra is really brilliant. He explains that the idea of the Rambam, that a sacrifice is meant to remove one from paganism, that is only when we have a bama, a private altar. We know that before we had a Mishkan, when we don't have a tabernacle, we were allowed to bring sacrifices on bamois, on private altars. Once we have a Beis HaMikdash, then we are not allowed to bring sacrifices in private altars anymore. We only allowed to bring sacrifices in the temple, in the tabernacle of Hashem. He explains, when Hashem allowed us to sacrifice on private altars are not Reach Nichoach Hashem. They are not a pleasing aroma to Hashem. The whole idea that Hashem allowed us to sacrifice on top of private altars was to take away from our paganism. But the idea to bring a sacrifice on the temple of Hashem, that has nothing to do with paganism. That is really, like the Ramban explains, that is a way to electrify or the spirituality or to connect the upper worlds to the lower worlds through the sacrifices and through the work of the carbon. And only then it's Reach Nichoach Hashem, and only then it's a pleasant aroma to Hashem. And any sacrifice brought in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, or in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not connected to paganism at all. Again, he divides and he says that there is two types of sacrifices. Sacrifices you bring on a private altar, and this was done in pre-Beis HaMikdash day, pre-temple days, when certain conditions applied, or before the tabernacle was erected. That's when we were able to do on a private bama, on private altars that every person had in his backyard. If he wanted to bring a sacrifice, then he could bring a shlamim in his backyard. That is where the word of Maimonides applied, that the whole reason that Hashem allowed us to bring sacrifice in our private backyard is to take away from paganism, since we're involved with the countries around us, and they believe that these animals that we bring there are God. So therefore Hashem told us to burn them and bring them as a sacrifice to Hashem in a private altar. But the idea of a sacrifice in the holy temple or in the tabernacle, that is a loftier idea. It's not such a low idea. That's the idea, like the Ramban explains, to connect the world. And he says that's why the Gemara in Zvachim 1:13 says that by a bama, ein reach nichoach. The Gemara clearly says that in a bama, a private altar, you don't have a pleasing aroma to Hashem, because a pleasing aroma to Hashem you only have on a mizbeach in front of Hashem, but not in a private altar. A private altar, the whole idea is to prevent the negative, in other words, to prevent you from bringing sacrifices to idols. So therefore Hashem tells you to bring sacrifice to Hashem, where the idea of the Mizbeach, of the altar inside the tabernacle or inside the Beis HaMikdash, is a positive, is to connect the world. It's not just to prevent a negative, it's actually a positive. And according to this Meshech Chachma, the Pasuk that Tosfos Brachah brings down to give proof to the Rambam what Hashem tells us, that I want you to bring a sacrifice in the tabernacle. Velo yizbechu oit ezivcheim laseirim asherem zoinim achareim. They should not slaughter anymore their sacrifices to the demons that they stray to them, which means to say that Hashem is telling us, I don't want you to bring any more embalmers. And the reason I let you bring embalmers is because you're bringing to Seirim, that normally you're bringing to demons, and I wanted you to win out of that way and bring it in the embalmers for Hashem. But now that I have a tabernacle, you're not allowed to do this, and you don't have this purpose anymore. Because the purpose now for the tabernacle is l'reach nichoach l'Hashem, is for pleasant aroma to Hashem. So we see clearly that by bombers you are allowed to do, and the bombers was for the Seirim. In other words, to take away from our hearts to bringing to demons, like to refrain from paganism. That's why you were allowed to do bombers. Exactly like the Meshech Chachma said. But now that I build the tabernacle, I want you to bring the sacrifices not as a negative, but as a positive. To be l'reach nichoach l'Hashem, to be as pleasant aroma to Hashem, and you're not allowed anymore to bring embalmers in private altars. The Meshech Chachma says that according to what he just said, Nisgalali saw it, it was revealed to me a secret, and what Rabbeinu Chaim meant in Megillah Daf Yud Omed Aleph. Rabbeinu Chaim is brought by the Tosfos, and Tosfos there is talking about the machloikas if Kedusha Rishoyna Kitcho Leshato VeKitcho Leosit Lavoy or not. There's a machloikas if the holiness of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, it was done for all eternity, for all times, even though the Beis Hamikdash is now destroyed, or only for its time when it's there, but after the destruction of the temple, the place of the Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim has no Kedusha, has no holiness. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Chaim innovates that even according to the opinion that says that Kedusha Rishoyna Kitcho Leshato Veloy Kitcho Losid Lavoy, even to the opinion that says that the holiness of Yerushalayim was done only for its time, only while Yerushalayim is built, but after the Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim are destroyed, it is not holy anymore, you're not allowed to bring a bomber anymore. You're not allowed to bring a private altar. So everybody is bothered. I understand if Yerushalayim's holiness is eternal, then I understand once we still have Yerushalayim, we're not allowed to bring any more private sacrifices on private altars. But where does Rabbeinu Chaim get the idea that even though the holiness of Yerushalayim is not eternal for all times, still we're not allowed to make private sacrifices on private altars? Why aren't we allowed to make on private altars? There should be no reason that we shouldn't be allowed to make on private altars. If we hold that the Yerushalayim doesn't have any sanctity and the Beis Hamikdash doesn't have any sanctity right now. As the Meshech Chachma says, now according to what I mentioned, it is very good. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Dalet, Omed Aleph, brings down an interesting story. The Gemara says there that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, members of the Great Assembly, when they came back to the land, they started to rebuild the second temple. They saw the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was very strong, that the evil inclination of idolatry was very strong. The Jewish people were very much involved in idolatry, and that was the reason that the first temple was destroyed. The first temple was destroyed because we were involved in idolatry. And they started crying, Bayo Bayo, Oy Vey, he's the one who destroyed the temple of Hashem. He's the one that caused the burning of the sanctuary. He's the one that killed the righteous people from the land. And he's the one that caused the Jewish people to be exiled from the land of Israel. And he still dances among us. You only gave us because you want to give us reward. In other words, Hashem only gave us the evil inclination that by us withstanding that evil inclination will get reward for our deeds. So lo yiboinen, we don't want the Yetzer Hara velo igre boinen, and we don't want to get the reward to stand against him. In other words, we cannot overcome that Yetzer Hara. It is too strong among us. We prefer not to get the Yetzer Hara and don't give us the reward. So they stood 3 days and they fasted. A note fell down from heaven, and the note was written Emes, truth. The prophet Zechariah said that since Emes is the name of Hashem, obviously it must be that now it's a good time. They saw a fiery lion coming out of the Holy of Holies. So they said this is the Yetzer Hara of idolatry. They were able to take it, but it was screaming so loud that nobody could withstand. So they decided they put him into a cauldron of lead, because the Talmud says that lead absorbs the noise, and they sealed it, and they were able to destroy the Yetzer Hara of idolatry. So it comes out, according to the Gemara, that nowadays, after the destruction of the Second Temple, we don't have anymore the Yetzer Hara of idolatry. We don't have the will to bow down to any sticks, to any animal, or to other things like that. Before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the members of the Great Assembly, destroyed the Yetzer Hara of idolatry, we were willing and we were enticed to bow down to those animals. But now that we don't have the Yetzer Hara of idolatry, no man bows down to any animals anymore. Now, says the Meshech Chachma, according to what I just differentiated between Bama and between a temple for Hashem, we could understand how come we can no longer bring in Bama. Like we mentioned, that the Rambam says that the whole idea that we bring a sacrifice on a Bama is to refrain from paganism, that since around us everybody was idolatrous and Hashem wanted us to bring their gods as a sacrifice to Hashem in order for us to know that their gods are mere idols and there is no substance in idolatry, and therefore you learn that there is no substance in paganism. That only applies when you have a Yetzer Hara for idolatry. But once there is no more Yetzer Hara for idolatry, now you can't bring any more sacrifices in Bama, you can't bring any more sacrifices in any private altar, because the whole idea of bringing a sacrifice on a private altar was only to teach you to refrain from paganism. But if you don't have any more Yetzer Hara, evil inclination for idolatry, then you won't do paganism anyways. So you lose the purpose of sacrificing in Bama. So therefore, if it's according to this, if you don't have any more Yetzer Hara, so even if I hold Kedusha Reshoina, that the holiness originally was only done for that time, but it's not done for the future, true that there is no more holiness in Beis HaMikdash, but you still cannot bring Bama, because we don't have any more a Yetzer Hara, evil inclination for idolatry, because the people of the Great Assembly were able to remove the Yetzer Hara of idolatry. So then the reason of paganism doesn't exist anymore. If the reason of paganism doesn't exist, everybody agrees, no matter what, you're not allowed to make any more private altars, because private altars was only allowed for you to refrain from paganism. If you don't have a Yetzer Hara for paganism, you're not allowed to do any more in private altars. Going back to the idea of sacrifices, Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tzadik Hei, Mitzvah 95, gives two different reasons. He says that the depth of a heart of a person is really only if you could do an action. Basically, what he's trying to say, that talk is cheap, that a lot of times a person is going to say he's sorry, but the fact that he's sorry stays only by his lips. It does not go deeper. It only stays by his lips. He's sorry, but his heart really doesn't mean the words that he says. But if you tell him to make an action, that he has to bring a sacrifice, and he has to come to the house of Hashem, and he has to give it to the Kohen, and all the minute details that is written in these parshas, from all this action that he has to do, he will come to truly mean what he said, and he will fix in his heart, that word make permanent in his heart, and rectify the sin that he did. That now, when he's going to say he's sorry, he is really going to mean it, because he has to go now through all this trouble to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, then he's really going to mean it that he's sorry for his action. That will cause the tshuva, the repentance, and the sorriness to be fixed in his soul. He'll solidify what he says by an action. In other words, by saying he's sorry and then bringing a sacrifice which he has to go through such trouble to do, then we really mean that he's sorry. The Minchas Chinuch explains the words of the Chinuch differently, and he explains that the carbon is meant to be a deterrent, not as an atonement, but as a deterrent. He says that a lot of times, let's say, by way of an example, that you turn the light on Shabbos. By mistake, totally by mistake, you turn the light on Shabbos. And you know what? It's true, a mistake. But if you know that every time you put the light switch on Shabbos, you'll have to bring a cow that's worth $2,000, that's expensive, and you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring it, and that's the only way you are going to get atonement, then you'll be very, very careful about touching the switch. You'll stay far away from that switch. And he explains that is the idea of the karbanos, that since a person tends to do an action by mistake, he only does an action by mistake because he's not sensitive to his surroundings. And the way to make it more sensitive is by making sure that he pays for it, that it costs him money, then he will become more sensitive and he won't commit the crime. So the whole idea of you bringing a sacrifice is to make sure that you pay money, that you don't get away with just a warning. You actually has to cost you money. Like that, you won't come to repeat the offense because you'll be sensitive to the cost. The other interpretation the Chinuch brings down is that a person has to know that the difference between man and an animal is just that man has got seichel and the animal has got a seichel behemoth, has got an animal brain. Man has got a more evolved brain than an animal. So if a person sins, then a person acted like an animal, then he's just exactly like the animal. So therefore, Hashem, to let him know that he's just like the animal, Hashem is trying to tell him, look what happens when you act like an animal. When you act like an animal, you are sacrificed and burned on the altar. So therefore, a person will come to refrain from acting like an animal. In other words, since if he behaves like an animal, he's considered like an animal, and if he sees what happens to an animal which misbehaves, so therefore this person is going to know that he's got to make sure that he uses his brain for the right purpose and he doesn't act like an animal, because an animal you shecht, an animal you burn. The Rosh says that karbanos are a way for us to be able to shed our sins. Hashem had to create for us a special way to shed our sins, because if you would not have a karbanos and you would not have a way to shed our sins, then we would have sinned much more. He gives an example, a person that has dirty clothes, he doesn't care about getting it more dirty, because once it's dirty already, he doesn't care anymore about getting more dirt. But a person who has white clothes, he is very careful not to get a speckle of dirt. So therefore Hashem, in his kindness, created us a way to be able to shed our sins, so like that we will be cleansed and then we won't come to sin more. Because had he not given a way for us to shed our sins and to atone for our sins, we would have sinned more, because since our clothes are already dirty, we wouldn't have realized and wouldn't care the more dirt that we put on. But now that we're able to shed our sins through via the karbanos, so then we are able to have clean clothing. And now we worry about any speckle, any little dirt that goes on our clothing. This Machmoshe explains karbanos, and he clearly asks this question: if I'm the one who has sinned, why does the Torah command me to slaughter an animal who didn't do anything? Isn't this unfair to the animal who has no guilt? So this Machmoshe explains that the rationale behind the offering is that this represents the natural order of creation, which means each less developed segment of creation is subservient to the segment above it. When a person recognizes this, he will come to the following kal vachomer. He will come to the following deduction. If an animal that the person did not create, and the person does not know, and the person did not feed or give sustenance, and the person will not know in the future, still the Torah tells you that you could kill it and cause it pain and erase it to the world for all times, all because it's in a lower level than the person. So much so, Hashem, which Hashem does only good for us, and Hashem knows who we are, and Hashem fed us, and Hashem created us, surely Hashem could take us out of the world if we do not serve Him right and for every reason that He wants. So a person that will take notice, because what happens to the lower animal, and he believes that this could happen to him too, because of this status in comparison to Hashem, a person like that will repent, and a person like that will come to the conclusion that he has to serve Hashem for whatever time he has. Finally, I'm going to give the words of the Kuzari, that the Kuzari explains the idea of Karbonos. He really doesn't explain exactly the idea of Karbonos, but he gives an interesting analogy. He says that we know a person is made of physical and spiritual. He has got his body, and he's got a neshama, a spiritual soul that comes directly from Hashem, and it's holy. And we know that without physical food, the spirituality of the soul cannot survive in the body. That the soul in the body cannot be maintained in this world unless there is actually physical food given to it, and then it will be able to be maintained in this world. But if you do not give food, physical food for the soul, then the soul has to leave the body. Even though the soul and the body are two separate things, and we can't understand how the soul gets nutrients from the physical body. A soul that is spiritual, how does it get nutrients from the physical body? So too explains the same relationship that you have between the soul and the body, so too he explains is the relationship of Karbonos to all the worlds. That Karbonos is the food that all the spiritual worlds require to be maintained. Without physical Karbonos, the upper worlds cannot survive. And that could be what the Meshech Chochmah brings down, the opinion of the Ramban, that Karbonos is Elektri Rochni. That's the electricity that makes the upper worlds survive. We don't understand exactly how it works, but the same relationship that a body has to the soul, so too Karbonos have to the upper world. From all these ideas, we see how important the Karbonos are. So important that Avraham Avinu, during the Bris Ben Absarim, when he asked Bamo Eido Ki Roshano, how do I know that my children will inherit the land of Israel? The Gemara in Megillah 31b brings down that Hashem told Avraham Avinu that even though they will see in the future, if they bring sacrifices, Hashem will forgive them. So Avraham Avinu persisted and says that is good when there's going to be a temple and they'll be able to bring sacrifices. But what happens if there is no temple and they cannot bring sacrifices? So Hashem says, Uneshalma Porim Sefoseinu, which means that by us reciting the laws of the sacrifices and repenting, that Hashem will consider it as though we had brought the sacrifices themselves, and Hashem will forgive us. Karbonos are so important, sacrifices are so important, that the Anshe Knesset HaGadoyla, the members of the Great Assembly, established our prayers, Shachris, Minche Marev, according to the Karbonos, according to the sacrifices. As the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chavav Omed Beis brings down, that they established Shacharis because of Tamid Shal Shachar, because the early sacrifice that we bring in the morning. Mincha, they established because of Tamid Sheban Arboim, because of the afternoon sacrifice that they brought. And Mariv, they established because of the burning of the limb that wasn't done during the day, it was done during the night. So we see clearly that the rabbis wanted us to remember and wanted us to become attuned to the sacrifices. That is the reason that they established the prayers in this time. And also, the whole world stands on Torah, Avoid the Gmiras Chasodim. Torah avoida, which is service and acts of kindness, and one of the pillars is avoida, which according to most Mefarshim means avoidas hakarbonas, means the actually sacrifices or repeating the sacrifices. If that is so, so much do we have to be ashamed that we do not even say the Karban Tamid, the parshas of sacrifices in the mornings and afternoons during our prayers. We always skim through it, we never actually read it carefully to try to understand what's written there and try to understand what it does for all the world and what it does for us personally. If only we would have understood it, we wouldn't have viewed it as a burden and we would have said it with more kavana. If that is the whole reason that we pray, so much more do we have to actually say those prayers. So Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all say the parshas of karbanos, and by us saying the parshas of the sacrifices, we will come to understand it and be atoned by it and repent. And by saying the karbanos, we'll be able to give electrical charge to the spiritual world. And once we give electrical charge to the spiritual world and we also repent, then we'll merit not only to say this parsha karbanos, we'll merit to have Mashiach come. And like the Rambam says, the first thing that we'll do when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is reestablish the service of the karbanos, and then Hashem, the Shechina, will be able to return to Yerushalayim, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen.